Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We're located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're glad you've tuned in. We pray that today's message is a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Give us a call at 803-776-1238 or call us toll-free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Pastor Daryl Jackson shares the message titled, Grateful Givers.
Today, as we continue this year-long series that God has given us on grateful, all year we have been talking, discussing, sharing, teaching, preaching on the significance of being grateful, on the importance of gratitude, on why God expects all of us, no matter what, to be grateful. Ironically enough, the sermon that I preached on the first Sunday in March before my sister got sick was, Lord, I'm still grateful. I didn't know what was going to happen, but God reminded me that no matter what happens in our lives, we have to declare and decree, I'm still grateful. Are there any grateful folk in here this morning? Thank you. So this morning, we share with you what God has given me. As you know, I don't often preach on giving. I rarely conduct the offertory worship services. In fact, somebody reminded me that I average about one sermon a year, once a year, on giving. And as God gave me this series last year, I began preparing for this series in June of 2025. God gave me several messages, and one of those messages was this message as it relates to being grateful as it relates to our giving. And as you know, giving doesn't always get a lot of amens and shouts and hallelujahs. In fact, I told the band that you probably don't have to work as hard today when I preach, amen. But this is my assignment that God has given me to share with you. And I believe that God needs and wants someone to hear this word. So how many of you open your hearts to receive what God has to say today? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 and 8 is where our text is found. Reading from the New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will, somebody help me say, God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need. And plenty left over, not to bury in the backyard, not to put in your bank account, but plenty left over to share with others. And those who appreciate and love God's word say amen. For the next few moments, I want to speak to you from this subject. Grateful givers. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, I am a grateful giver. Now clap those hands as you take your seat. Grateful givers. When we, in this pastoral message this morning, God said to me, share these words. And as I was putting this message ago months ago, in fact, I tried to preach this months ago and backed down, backed away and said, not now, not now. And God says, now, now is the time. And here's what he reminded me of. He says, when we speak of giving and gratitude, we are usually talking about the attitude of those on the receiving end. Am I right about it? The discussion normally centers around the attitude of the recipients of something given. It goes like this. She acted like she wasn't grateful for what she has just received. Or the question goes, are you grateful for what you have been given? Or the admonishment goes, be grateful for all that God has done for you. However, today, in today's assignment, God said to me in this message today, he would like to change the focus, to take a look at this subject of gratefulness and gratitude from a somewhat different perspective. Today's message, we would like to focus on the attitude of the giver and not the recipient. Usually we're talking about the recipient. Today God says, focus on the giver and not the recipient. For it is said that a person's attitude, somebody help me say attitude, about what they give is perhaps more significant than what they actually give. Look at somebody and say, attitude matters. Have you ever been the recipient of something from someone that you could just sense that their hearts really were not in it? Can I preach? Can I talk to some real folk about some real issues? Have you ever been given something by somebody and you had a sense or feeling that their heart just wasn't in it? In other words, their attitude suggested that they really didn't want to do it. But they did it. Maybe it's just me. Maybe you guys have great forgiveness, but I've had some people just, huh. I never knew what huh means. I looked up huh, I couldn't find it. Deacon Samaria in the dictionary. I guess that's the other side of the railroad expression, okay? Deacon Porter, huh, take it, just take it. Have you ever been that way where folk just kind of gave you something with no excitement, no joy? It seemed to have been given out of a sense of obligation or given out of a sense of guilt. Or maybe since we're living in 2026 and folk like to have followers and like to have viral moments and like folk to know what they're doing, they just did it to impress other folk. Some folk bless you to make them look good. They still don't like you. It just makes them look good to help you. And you can tell it. You can tell it. Can't you tell it? Can't you tell? I don't know. I've never been a pet owner, but I'm told that those who own pets say that dogs particularly know when you really do love them. And know, I mean, maybe that's why they never really came to my house. They know that they don't like dogs at that house. So they don't even run across our yard, man. Because they know, but they can really tell. They can sense when somebody really cares for them. So gratitude, somebody say gratitude. Gratitude is something that transforms our giving from a duty into a joyful act of worship. That's what gratitude does. It recognizes that God is the ultimate source of all that we have. And this analogy came to me as I was looking over this message, and God reminded me and says, you know, some folk are more grateful, or some folk are more excited about the gifts they buy than the things they give. Can I help you out? We don't have any problems with folks showing you their recent purchases, showing you what they've just gotten for themselves. They got a new car, they're leaning and profiling. If they got a new outfit, they're stepping and strutting it. They're just as happy as they can be if they brought something. And here's what I can't figure out, even when they can't afford it. I never did understand how broke people waste their money on things they don't really need, but things that glamorize and feed their ego. I don't know, maybe I've just been too cheap all my life to spend money on things that really don't benefit me, okay? But folk will buy stuff, old preach Pastor Jackson, and display it with great excitement and joy. But don't demonstrate that same type of excitement and joy when they give something unto the Lord, or when they give something for the purposes of the kingdom. Gratitude is one that transforms that duty, that sense of obligation, into an act of worship, one that recognizes that God is the ultimate source of all that we have. Why I can be happy when I give, because I know that all good and perfect things come from the Lord. I know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I know that I've been young and now I am old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed beg bread. The reason I can have joy when I give, because I know that God wakes me up. It is of the Lord's mercies that I've not been consumed. His compassion faileth not. It is renewed every morning. I know if it had not been for the Lord that was on my, I know that when my enemy and my foe came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled. I know that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm just trying to give you some ways that you can be excited about what you give. I know that if God had not stepped in, I would still be where I once was. I know that not by power, nor by might, but by your spirit, says the Lord. Now, everybody that knows that God has been good to you and everything you have, God did it. You owe God some kind of praise. You may hang the degree on the wall, but God empowered your mind to think. You may cash the paycheck, but God gives you the strength to go to work. If there's one thing I've learned in the last month and a half, is not to take anything for granted. That if I can just wave my hands, that is a blessing. If I can just put on my own shoes, that is a blessing. If I can just wake up in the morning and brush my teeth, who am I preaching to? Look at your neighbor and say, don't you sit up in here as if God has not done anything for you. If there's breath in your body, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. You owe God a praise. Has God been good to you? If you can wave your hands, if you can blink your eyes, if you can breathe, looking at some miracles. Deacon Stephon McCoy, I'm looking at some miracles. I know about your condition and how God raised you up. And so I don't understand. Woo! They ought to be folk in here. And thank you, Deacon Stephan, because I know you are as faithful as anybody. Thank God for you. I wish there were more of them like you. Folk that says, listen, I'm here because God made it possible for me to be here. I don't understand. Y'all help me understand how folk that God bless every week can sleep during church, can stay home, they can party all Saturday night and hang over too much to come to church. But when I think of his goodness and what he's done for me, I got to praise God. I got to praise God. Oh, I said I wouldn't get too excited this morning, but everybody get 10 seconds in your mind. Think of something that God did for you that only God did, and shout grateful. Oh, the grateful folk. Just wave your hands and say, Lord, I am one grateful somebody. Woo! When I look back over my life, think things over, I can truly say, woo! Y'all excuse me. Keep thinking of things that God did, that only God did. I am one grateful somebody. All the grateful people, you owe God a praise of thanks. I got to preach this. Y'all sit down before church breaks out. Look at somebody, say, he didn't have to do it. It could have been another way, but God. Let me get to the text. In this incredible text, the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth. This is his second epistle to the church. In chapter 9, Paul encourages the church in Corinth to fulfill their promised financial commitment to a group of believers who live in Jerusalem who were going through, Dr. Sherrill, a very difficult time as a result of a severe famine in Judea. What made this text unique is that Paul is writing to a Gentile church, asking them to help their Jewish brothers and sisters in a different region. Paul was trying to be a blessing to someone who had fallen on hard times. And then in an attempt to assist these brothers and sisters who were suffering in Jerusalem, Paul challenged the churches, particularly those that he had helped establish, to give out of their abundance to help somebody else that is in need. And he had listed all the churches that have given. And as he got to the church of Corinth, he noticed that their offering was delayed. Although they were much wealthier than some of the other churches that had already given. Sometimes those who have the most gives the least. I ain't talking about none of you all. Gucci, bougie, dressed up, Louis. Yeah, you can stretch your Louis belt, but yet you don't tie. I'm just preaching to the lights, okay? Okay. Sometimes those who strut the most gives the less. Who rose up in here with the greatest blessings are sometimes those who give the less. And Paul realized this in a way that only the Apostle Paul can handle it, in a delicate yet efficient but challenging way. He challenges the saints in Corinth. He challenges the Corinthians because they were blessed. They had so much, but everyone else had given but them. Now, there are scholars who believe that perhaps part of their issue was that they took issue with Paul. They didn't necessarily like Paul because Paul challenged them in 1 Corinthians and others to live godly. Sometimes folk get so blessed they forget God. Preach, Pastor Jackson. Paul wanted them to know that God had blessed you with all that you have. You've got to not forget that it was God who made it all possible for you to be where. If you've got a decent job, it's God. If you live halfway decent, it is God. Paul challenged and reminded them that all your blessings come from God. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he finds a delicate way of saying to them, I'm not here to argue with you. I don't want you to be forced to give anything. I just want you to think about your attitude as you give. And he writes these most profound words that are found in verses 7 and 8. The New Living Translation says, he says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to any kind of pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will, here's the promise, only God says you do what I've asked you to do and I'll promise you something else. Did you catch it? If you do what I've asked you to do, I'll give you even more than what you've already had. He says, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. I thought about Paul's exhortation to the Corinthians, and God has given me three key insights from Paul's words that I want to share with you before we conclude this message. Number one is this: grateful giving is all about our attitude. Look at somebody and say, it is about your attitude. God is more concerned about our attitude as we give than the amount we give. Now, I know that there are tricks of the trade, and I've been around church folk all my life. I was raised in the pews, Deacon Simmons, okay? I've seen it all. You and I have seen it. I've seen people come and promise blessings, and I've seen prophets who later go to jail because they're frauds. I've seen people take people's last amount of money and promise them all kinds of things, and then they skip town. And God says, that's not what I've asked of you, because what is more important is your attitude than the amount you give. And folks say, if you have a giving line, people give more. And they've said, why did y'all stop walking around? And you know, I believe if you have them walk around, Pastor, we'll get a little bit more. I said, I'm not in the business of tricking ungodly people to do godly things. Amen, somebody. And if you give more because you want to be seen giving, then I don't need to have you walk around the offering table. I need you to walk to the altar. Amen. And so God says, Paul says, your attitude matters. When our attitude is right, then our giving will be willing and cheerful. May I say that again? When your attitude is right, If you give to folk that you love, it doesn't. And you know, sometimes I give because I love the recipients. I told the church this morning, all it takes is a family, and God knows it. If you've got grandchildren, how many of you in here got grandchildren? In the case of my mother, she's got great-grandchildren, and I can see the gleam in her eyes when they talk to her. There's something about giving to somebody, and you know sometimes they're not as grateful as they should be, but it ain't really, excuse the grammar, about the recipient. It's about the joy you have in blessing somebody you love. Can I preach to somebody in here? And if you love the Lord, can I preach? If you love God and God has been good to you and woke you up this morning and started you on your way, if God kept putting food on your table and clothes on your back, then every time you give to God, it is not labor, but it is a reward of joy. Lord, I do this because I love you, and I cheerfully give. And I admit there's some things in my life that I pay for that I don't give cheerfully. When I pay my light bill every month and I go online and click, I don't shout for Pan Dominion. When I've got to pay my mortgage, I will confess. I don't rejoice in sending First Citizens my money. Oh, but when I come to church, it's not a mortgage, it's not a light bill. It is a blessing to the Lord. I say, Lord, I thank you, because the last time I checked, Dominion didn't keep me up at night and woke me up in the morning, and the bank didn't put food on my table. I want to just give you a minute to reflect about how good God has been to you. And I just need about 150, maybe 200, maybe 500, maybe 1,000, maybe 1,500. I don't care. Maybe I need all of you to just jump up and say, Lord, I thank you. Listen, I don't pay my taxes until I have to. April 15th. Trust me. I even if I got it in the bank, I will pay it when I have to. And around about April the 14th, I take a day of grace in case the post office is late. And I drive by the main post office and I drop it in the post office box. And I don't leave there rejoicing. But I said, Lord, I had to do it again. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus, when I think about how good God has, and if I sow a seed to God, it's because God has been good to me. I give cheerfully because I love who I am giving to. Deacon Glover, we give to our grands cheerfully because we love who we're giving to. Can I preach this? Second key insight and observation in this text is that grateful giving is about trusting God. God, I trust you. As grateful givers, we don't give because we can afford it. We give because we trust God. We know the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. As grateful givers, we trust God. Listen to this. We trust God more than we trust what's in our hands. Because what's in our hand is limited. But what's in God's hand is limitless. Look at somebody and say, it's a seed in your hand. It's a seed. And I've never seen a farmer go to plant holding on to the seed. In order to reap a harvest, you've got to let go the seed. Amen. I've never seen a farmer cry over the seeds
they plant in the ground. In fact, most farmers, and Friday I was going through Calhoun County, Deacon Whitmore, to a great funeral in Fort Mott, and I passed all kind of farmland, and I saw a farmer out there in the tractor plowing the field, getting ready, not plowing, but whatever, to the field, getting ready to plant the seeds. And I imagine in my mind, when he dropped the seeds in the ground, he was happy, although he couldn't see anything right then. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't see it right away, but I know beneath the surface is something that I've planted. And the only way I can expect a crop is that I've got to let go the seed. And the reason why some of you die with no crops and a handful of seeds is because you don't let go the seed. But if you let go the seeds, sooner or later, God will turn your seed into a blessing. I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Is there anybody right now with enough faith to rejoice over the seed in the ground? Tell your neighbor, neighbor, I've got a seed in the ground. And so I know God is going to bless me. Now, to those of you that don't plant, don't expect. Listen, one of my great neighbors and a childhood friend, Minister John Richardson, has a great garden. And when I ride by his house going home, I peek in his backyard around the corner because I say, when does this start? But when I go to my house in the backyard, I don't look for nothing. Why? Because I haven't planted. I haven't planted anything in my yard. And if you don't plant anything in your yard, don't look for nothing in your, there would be no collard greens and cabbage and corn and cucumbers in the Jackson house because we have no seed in the ground. But let me tell you where I have planted a seed. Woo, when I prayed for my children, when I anointed their rooms, when I give God my tithe and offering. That's a seed in the ground. And that's why I can walk and say, blessed and highly favored. That's why I can point my hands to them and say, by his stripes, we're already healed. Is there anybody know that your seed will manifest into a crop? And God is about to turn your situation around. You've got 30 seconds to give God your best. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, there's a seed in the ground. My children will be blessed. My house will be blessed. Everything I touch will be blessed. On the bus, they're blessed. In the classroom, they're let your seeds go. Don't eat your seeds. Don't hold on to your seeds. If you want to grow something, if you want a crop, let go of your seeds. Don't spend your seeds on an outfit when it's God's money. You take your money, do whatever you want with it. Buy 10 outfits with your money, but not with your dressed up self. God's money. And here's the third and the final one. Can I still preach next week? Okay. Pentecost is next week. We are shout. Okay. Great forgiving is not only about our attitude. Great forgiving is not only about us trusting God, but it's all about worship. It's all about worship. Giving is not just financial. It is spiritual. Great forgiving is about worshiping God through our giving and trusting that God will make a way somehow. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? God will make a way somehow. I thought of two passages of scripture that I want to leave with you that perhaps are two of the most wonderful examples in the Bible of great forgiving. First is found in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44, the New Living Translation. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts, but then a poor widow woman, Mother Idella Thompson, Mother Jackson, poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. Look at somebody and say, now that's gratitude. Ooh, Lord, I give you all I have. Second and the last one, as you stand to your feet all over this place. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 10 through verse 16. Let us see what God has to say concerning the widow of Zarephath. So he went to Zarephath, and as the prophet arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks. And he asked of her, would you please bring me a little water? In a cup. And as she was going to get it, he called her, bring me a bite of bread too. But she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in my house. And I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil at the bottom of the jug. How many of you ever been at the bottom of the jug? Thank you, Holy Ghost. All I have left is a little bit at the bottom of the jug. And I was gathering a few sticks, this woman said, to cook this last meal. Then my son and I will die. But Elijah the prophet said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you have said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your sons. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always... thank you. I know I got to go, but there will always... be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain on the crops to grow again. So she did as Elijah said. And here's the testimony. And she and Elijah and her whole family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough in the containers. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, if you trust God, there will always be enough that God will give you to not only bless you, but to bless others because of your faith. Trust God. Find you somebody and say, trust God. Cross the aisles and look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, trust God. Trust God. Every time she put her hand in the barrel, there was always enough. Woo. I want to preach to somebody here today who is a living witness that God will always make a way. Won't he do it? Any living witnesses, you may not have gotten rich, but every day you got by. You may not have had everything you wanted, but you had enough to be a blessing every day. You owe God a praise for daily provisions. Somebody ought to clap those hands and say, Lord, I thank you. You didn't have to do it, but he did. Any grateful folk? Any grateful folk? Anybody grateful? Tell your neighbor, neighbor, I am so grateful. Lift those hands all over this place. Ooh, grateful givers, trust God with what's in your hand. Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Grateful people, listen to this, are grateful givers. I'm gonna say it again, because all year, this is the fifth month of the year, and maybe God has set you up, because you got on the brace, you got on the wristband, some of you wear the t-shirts, some of you are telling everybody how grateful you are. Well, I stopped by to tell you, grateful people are grateful givers. The question is, are you grateful? The answer is that, Lord, I am so grateful. Because you didn't have to do it, but you did. The altar is now open. And here's what I want. I want everybody who is grateful to just make your way down to this altar. I'm not asking those with prayer requests. I'm not just asking those with salvation. I just want you to come into the altar. Just fill up, fill it up, fill it up with just grateful folk right now. Come on. From the balcony, from the back of the church, wherever you are. Come on. Woo. Flowing from my heart are the issues of my heart. It's gratefulness. Woo. How many of you are so grateful? Come on, Sister Regina, from the beginning to I am. Come on.
I am grateful for.
I've done what God has asked me to do this morning. I'm grateful. I'm grateful.
Yes, I'm grateful. Woo. For the victories we've won.
Ah. Oh, I like this. I like this. I like this. Put the cameras right here. Oh, blow it. Look at the audience. Thank you. Are the issues? I want the internet to see gratefulness. You left your seats and come down to this altar right now.
I am grateful for the things that
you didn't have to do it, Lord, but you did. I am.
Yes, I'm grateful for the victories we won.
Open your mouth and say, Lord, flowing, flowing. It comes from my heart. Are the issues?
Are the issues of my heart?
come on. Come on.
Everybody,
don't say it if you don't mean it. Sing it to the Lord. Lord, I'm so grateful.
It's flowing from my heart. Grateful. When I think about how good you've been to me.
Grateful, Lord.
When I think about how you spent my life.
Thank you, Regina. Thank you to you. Nobody made me do it. It's coming from my heart, Lord. Nobody has to make me do it. It's coming from my heart, Lord.
Flowing from my heart.
Flowing. Are the issues? So 1 Kings 17 says, there was always enough. I want to stop right there. The woman who gave her last, listen to how her testimony ends. And there was always enough. The woman that gave God her last, here's how her testimony ends. And there was always enough. If you give me 60 seconds, I'll tell you what happened to this woman. Later, her son died. But she didn't lose her faith. She took her son upstairs and laid him on the bed where the prophet slept. And she went to find the prophet to tell the prophet that I am that woman that God promised that my house would be blessed. Prophet Elijah went back to a house, laid on her son, and her son came back to life again. Who am I preaching to? God says, I'm still raising dead stuff. I'm still raising dead stuff. Come on, somebody. How many of you know that God's still raising things that the world said was dead? All because she was a grateful giver. Her son lived. Her house ate. Her family, her extended family, all ate because one woman was a grateful giver.
close those eyes right now. This is you and God. This is you and God. It all begins with your relationship. Let me tell you something. Here's what I've discovered. It was hard for me to be a great forgiver before I totally gave my life to God. And I believe that the reason why some struggle is because they don't really have a genuine relationship with God. They've got to listen to this, and I promise you, I'll let you go. They have a better relationship with the church than they do with God. Oh, they work in the church, but they don't work for God. Because if you have a genuine relationship with God, then God would be the recipient of your passion. I give to you, Lord, I serve you because I have a genuine relationship with you. Close those eyes, flowing from my heart one more time. Flowing. Lord, we thank you, we bless you for another message in this series on the significance of being grateful. Thank you, Lord, for I have fulfilled my assignment that you've given me to challenge all of us, including myself, to never lose faith, to always remember that during our darkest hours, we can still be grateful. Thank you, Lord, for challenging us to allow our giving to reflect our gratitude towards you. We don't give to be seen. We don't give to have our names called. But we give because of our relationship with you, Lord. Just like we give to our family members with love, passion, and joy, we give to you with even a greater degree of love, passion, and joy, because you are responsible for every good and perfect thing that we enjoy. We say thank you. Now, Lord, although many of us believe, I pray that you help our unbelief, because I know it's not easy. And I would not assume that it is easy. And I know it's difficult to let go a seed when a seed is all you have. But thank you, Lord, for reminding us a seed is never intended to be held. It's intended to be planted. So give us the faith to plant our seed and watch you do the rest. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard of the blessings that are in store for those who trust you. We say thank you, Lord. Perhaps there's somebody here today that is dedicating their life to you. Thank you, Lord. Somebody today who says, I don't want to leave here the way I came. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for it is already done. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Flowing, flowing, If you're here today and you want to make that commitment to the Lord, you want to join the church, you want to just commit your life to the Lord, you don't want to leave here the way you came. Come on, thank you. If anybody here today and you want to make that commitment, amen. The altar is now open. You can go to the next step. QR code there. If you're here right now, His grace flowing. That's right. Let this be your moment. Let this be your moment. For the issues. Watch God. Look at God. Look at God. Come on, Bible Way, look at this. Can we give God a hand of praise, Father? The angels in heaven are grateful today. Come on, somebody. The issues, give God a hand of praise right now as we escort them in the back. Come on, team, amen. Come on, Bible Way, let's cheer for them like we would if we were at Colonial Life Stadium, man. Somebody, come on, clap those hands. Give God. Come on, Bible Way. Cheer, clap those hands. Go ahead. You've got a reason to. Grateful. Somebody say, I'm grateful. 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 Don't forget about Tuesday night. Tuesday night. Grateful.
I'm so grateful.
I feel like praising God with that song right there. Don't forget about Tuesday night.
It's flowing from God. Grateful.
Now may the grace of God, the sweet communion of His Holy Spirit, rest, abide with us until we meet again. And those who love the Lord said amen. Amen. Now let's have some church.
You've been listening to the worship services of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, just off I-77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services here on the radio. We're also streaming live on our website, bwcar.org, or on Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, and now on YouTube. Our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you've missed any of our services and would like to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place your order for CD or DVD of today's message entitled Grateful Givers, please call us at 803-776-1238. Reference sermon number 05-1726. Again, the number is 803-776-1238. Sermon number 05-1726. Join us 10 a.m. Sunday, May 31st for one combined morning worship service at Bible Way in the Worship Center. It's all a part of our Family and Friends Day celebration. Right after service, stay for a fun-filled day on campus with food, games, music, horseback riding, and more. Bring your family and friends and celebrate with us at Bible Way. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by checking the link on our website at bwcar.org. Or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR and your giving amount to 73256. That's 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina 29290. Please don't mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 noon until 6 p.m. Thank you for your continued support of this ministry. at Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve.